Have you ever wondered why anyone would ever reject the gospel? I mean, you'd think it would be the easiest thing in the world to accept, to know that God promises the forgiveness of sins to all who believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, that there's no need to earn it, there's no need to qualify for it, but God freely gives us his love in Jesus. How could anyone turn away from that? How could anyone possibly be offended by that gospel? Well, of course, the general problem is sin. We know this. But what is it in particular that causes the gospel to be so offensive? What makes the gospel so offensive, Christians, is not the message itself, but what the gospel implies. Because it's one thing to say that Jesus saves sinners, but it becomes offensive when you say that you are a sinner. It's one thing to say that God gives his grace freely to all. It becomes offensive when we say that you have to change your ways. It is one thing to say that we are set free from sin. It is another thing to say that we have to be different from what we once were. Because if the gospel meant that we could go to heaven without changing anything about who we are, I guarantee you everyone in the world would be a Christian. But Jesus has come to change things. And he's come to change you. And that is what makes the gospel so offensive. Stephen in our reading recognized this truth. He knew that the coming of Jesus meant that things had to change. And he wasn't afraid to talk about it either, which is why he got into trouble with the Jews. Luke doesn't tell us exactly what he said, but we can make a pretty reasonable guess. Because just listen to what his enemies say about him, starting in verse 13. This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. Now, I want you to pay very close attention. These are false witnesses. This is not what Stephen said. They are putting words into his mouth just as they did with Jesus. But if we look past these words, and if we compare them to what Stephen is going to say in the next chapter, we can make a pretty reasonable guess what he actually said. So his enemies first claim that he said that Jesus was going to destroy this holy place, meaning the temple. I think it's fair to say that what Stephen actually said was that the temple was going to come to an end. But why would he say that? Because he recognized what the gospel meant. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. All the debt of sin has been paid. There's nothing more that needs to be done. No further sacrifices that need to be made. And all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament were always looking forward to this one perfect sacrifice anyway. But now that Jesus has come, there's no more need. And there's also no more need for the temple and all the sacrifices that went along with it. So all of this was going to come to an end, just as Jesus himself also said. But the Jews rejected that. They didn't want to believe it. They thought that the animal sacrifices would go on forever. Because in their blindness, they could not see what the Old Testament itself was always pointing towards. If they had seen it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so because of that, they reject what Stephen has to say too, twisting his words around to make it sound worse in order to stir up the crowd. Same is true also for their other accusation. They claim that Stephen said that Jesus was going to change the customs that Moses had given to them. And again, I think it's fairer to say that what Stephen actually said was that they were going to come to an end. And really, for the same reason. Because all the practices of the Old Testament were never meant to go on forever. Things like circumcision always pointed towards what was to come. And once the fullness came, there was no more need for these things. It doesn't mean that those practices were bad or that God gave them something faulty. It's just that their purpose was now fulfilled, and so they could pass away. But the Jews rejected that too. They thought that these things were going to go on forever. So they twisted his words again, because they wanted to hold on to their sinful misunderstanding rather than follow where the gospel would lead. And Christians, I know that the opposition that we face today is not really all that concerned about the distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, frankly, if you talk to most people, they probably don't even know that there is an Old Testament and a New Testament. But we still see the same sinful stubbornness, the same refusal to follow where the gospel leads. Let me give you one real good example of this. We know from the gospel that Jesus has come to set us free from sin. He's come to make it so that we are no longer in bondage to what we once were. Jesus himself says, John chapter 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when we know that, Christians, it means that anything that the Bible calls a sin is not something permanent, so to speak. It's not something that we are doomed to do forever, as if we can never get away from it. In Jesus Christ, I can be free of that sin. In Jesus Christ, I can change my ways. God can change me and make me into a new creation, different from what I once was, so that I become something completely new. We know that from the gospel. So when the Bible says then, for example, that homosexuality is a sin, that doesn't mean that people who fall into this sin are somehow doomed to never change, as if they are gay forever and can never be free of that sin. Rather, in Jesus Christ, they can turn away from it. They can be set free from slavery to that sin. And there are many stories of Christians who do just that, who turn away from it and stop living in that way because of Jesus Christ. There is freedom for all those who truly come to Jesus. But so many refuse to see this. They refuse to let go of their sin at all. And they'll say instead, well, I was born this way. I can't help it. And they'll insist that it's part of their identity, that this is just who they are. And they'll say that we're trying to force them into being something that they are not, to force them to go against who they are, because they don't want to let go and follow where the gospel leads. And there's some that even go so far as to say that you can be gay and a Christian at the same time. But that's like saying that there is no hope, that there's no possibility to change. It ends up denying repentance to that person so that they can never truly have the real remedy for their sin. And that's why they get so angry whenever we do call it sin. Because that they know that it means they have to change. That's exactly what they don't want to do. And for that reason, they speak against those who speak the truth. Just like the Jews stirred up a mob against Stephen, putting him into a mock trial, just like Jesus. And in our case, they might not just speak out. They might even try to pass laws in order to silence us and to turn every possible platform, TV, the radio, whatever it may be, as a way of speaking out against the truth of God. All because they just want us to shut up and to go away. And Christians, that can be very intimidating to go against that kind of pressure. It might tempt us to whisper God's truth or not even say anything at all. Because I suspect what makes us so fearful about sharing the gospel, Christians, is not the gospel itself. Like I said, if that was the only message, everyone in the world would be a Christian. But rather, we become fearful of how that other person is going to react, of how they are going to react to the implications of what Christ has come to do. Will they listen to us, we ask? Will they just ignore us? Will they get angry, or even worse, make our lives difficult? And so if we do speak, we end up just whispering. Don't say anything controversial. Don't cause a scene. Keep it nice. No conflict. Everyone can just sort of get along. And hopefully, someone else down the line can do the hard work for us. But Christians, I want you to look at what Stephen does in our reading. Stephen does not whisper. He doesn't bring up what is inoffensive to the world. He continues to speak the word of God, even when it lands him into legal trouble. And look at what Luke actually says about him in verse 10. They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. They couldn't fight back against him. They couldn't say anything against the truth of what he was saying, because God was with him. God was leading him in the right way. God was teaching him the words he wanted him to say. He was showing him the truth. So why then should he be afraid of anything? He simply speaks the truth, and he leaves the results up to God. Maybe God would change their hearts. God can do that. God can change anyone's heart. That is the power of the gospel. And if not, he was still doing what God wanted him to do. Stephen shows us how to be steadfast in the truth, even in the face of a hostile world. So how then, Christians, can we be more like Stephen? First of all, by trusting in God. By keeping our eyes fixed on him. Because God will be with us when we speak for him. God will guard us against every evil. And even if we do suffer for the sake of the gospel, God will even use that for our good. Because all things work together for good for those who love him. So there is no need to worry. Second, we should speak the truth clearly. Don't tiptoe around it, hoping not to make anybody mad. Yeah, they might get mad. That's just the way that it is. You can't control that. But God gave us the truth so that we would be saved. And why would we want to try to hide that? God can change their hearts just as he once changed ours. And finally, Christians, don't be afraid to be offensive. And I don't mean be crude or to be inflammatory, like you're just trying to cause problems. But be willing to say even the hard things for the sake of Jesus. Tell them they are a sinner. Tell them that they need to change their ways. I know it's hard, but they need to hear it. And then tell them also of Jesus who saves sinners. And when we do that, we can put it all into the hands of God and leave everything up to him. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as you once called Stephen to speak the truth of your word. Help us to follow in his steps and to boldly speak your word to the world, so that all may hear the truth of your gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.